Get ready for another Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things podcast, a review of some of the stuff we did on our morning show, which you can hear over on Planet 93.9. My name is Dave. This is my partner, Darren.
We should also mention, for those that do, that we did knock out a patron-only podcast to fulfill our
I thought you were about
April,
to say we're going to do another one.
April obligation. We're only a couple days into May. We got a little bit of time.
Okay.
This particular podcast is brought to you by Nature's Treatment of Illinois. You can order recreational items online from the Galesburg location and order medicinal items online from the Milan location. All you have to do is go through Leafly. That is at the website, ntillinois.com.
Getting started with number one.
Number one.
This one has got me wondering, because I guess I wasn't aware that this was a thing. A guy has been arrested for smuggling 35 live finches in hair curlers.
Who needs the finches?
These finches were being smuggled in hair curlers from Guyana. They were being smuggled into New York City for singing contests. This is according to a complaint from the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Eastern District of New York. Kevin Andre McKenzie, a 36-year-old Guyanese resident, flew to JFK in New York on Monday. Customs and Border Protection officers pulled him aside for an examination and found these birds,
hey,
35
buddy.
Live finches. And he was charged with unlawfully importing the finches. Pictures here show the tiny finches stuffed inside hair rollers, sealed with a perforated netting. Authorities said they were attached to the inside of this guy's jacket, as well as the top of his shoes.
Aren't they going to make noise?
You would think. He was released on a $25,000 bond. Investigation found that these types of birds are often entered into singing contests in Brooklyn and Queens.
What goes on?
According to Catherine McCabe, a special agent for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, quote, in such contests, often conducted in public areas like parks, two finches sing, and a judge selects the bird determined to have the best voice. Many who attend the singing contests wager on the birds. A finch who wins these competitions becomes valuable and can sell for more than $10,000.
Okay, so I knew FanDuel was a part of this.
Although certain species of finch are widely available here in the United States, the species from Guyana are believed to sing better and are therefore more valuable. Now, I'm here to tell you, friend, there's not a finch in the world that can beat the American finch. I'm not standing for this. I'm going to find an American finch. I'm going to enter this contest, and that's the movie.
Do you have that available on your betting app?
Can I bet on finch singing? No, I haven't seen any action on that. But I'll tell you, I'm all in on this.
Well, that would have been nice to have known that that was an option a year ago when there were no sports.
Competitive finch singing?
I gotta have it.
McKenzie told the officers that he was offered $3,000 to smuggle in these birds. He was paid $500 before his flight, and he was going to get the remaining $2,500 once he got through customs.
Can you tell us who that person is?
Besides a valid import permit, birds are required to quarantine for 30 days to prevent the spread of contagious diseases. You just can't bring birds into the country.
Yeah, how do you keep them quiet?
Well, if they're known for being...
They're singing birds.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you tell the finch it's time to sing, and then it knows? Or maybe being stuffed in the hair curler makes it just kind of, you know, shut down for a little bit? That can't be good for the birds. Obviously.
No, you don't want that.
No. But you're telling me we can go somewhere in Brooklyn and Queens and wager on which bird will have the best singing voice? And who's the judge? Randy Jackson? Like, who... Who are these finch judges? I have so many questions.
Years ago, it was Peter Finch before we lost him.
I would love it if somehow competitive finch singing made its way to the Quad Cities. If that was something I could wager on, I'm all in. I think I could look at a bird and look at another bird and make a determination as to which one will have the more beautiful voice.
It just seems, this seems to me to have some sort of very ugly underbelly. The whole thing.
I don't think so. I think what we're dealing with here is the delightful sound of singing birds. There was a story in California where migrating birds overran the house. Now, these are American birds. No one's going to jail. This is in Torrance, California, where the home has been overrun by migrating birds, and it's like something out of a Hitchcock movie.
Which Hitchcock movie?
Vertigo. Which one do you think? All of them.
All of them.
And at some point in every Hitchcock movie, there's too many birds.
It was like a running gag.
Like a scene from a horror movie, hundreds of birds swirl like a tornado down the chimney of a home in Torrance. The amazing sight was caught on video by stunned neighbors.
Yeah, these birds swirl around like a tornado and then make their way down the chimney. So there's like 1,000 birds inside the house.
That's wild.
Just out of nowhere. This isn't like, oh, there's a lot of birds in the backyard. They're in the living room. They're on the piano.
Wow, KTLA's Jen McGraw spoke with the residents in a story you'll see only on 5. Jennifer.
We're very proud to tell you we're the only ones that have the birds invading a home story.
I'm the older guy.
Hello. She's the pretty young thing.
I'm the older guy.
I'm a middle-aged man with a haircut. Thank you for watching Kitla tonight.
Mike and Sharon covered hundreds of stories, and this one is definitely for the birds. A whole...
Okay.
Boy, they make you so mad.
You need to sit down. What are you doing? She couldn't wait to get that for the birds joke in. Couldn't wait!
Lot of birds. An avian invasion over a home in Torrance.
It's so hard to explain, and if you don't see it with your own eyes, you'd never believe it.
Practically taking a scene out of Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds. Only this flock isn't fictional. Carrie's family came home from dinner only to find starlings swarming after swooping down their chimney.
They were swarming!
It looks like the chimney is a vacuum cleaner, just sucking the birds out of the air. You come home from dinner and they said they lost count once they got to 800 birds.
Did they get the licensing to a show of that clip from the birds? Hitchcock?
KTLA News 5
uh-huh.
in LA?
Uh-huh.
I imagine they did. Yeah, they'll be okay.
Okay.
They should be all right. The birds are passing through Southern California as they migrate north, and apparently, they've been dealing with a lot of bird nuisance calls in that part of the state. You're advised, if you're listening to us on the stream in California, to close your chimney flue and make sure the spark register at the top hasn't rusted out and opened. Yeah, you don't want that. You don't want to come home and there's 1,000 small birds trapped in your chimney.
Tin roof rusted.
Two.
15 volunteers spent 40 days in a cave in France.
I'll volunteer. How you say volunteer?
How you say cucumber? These 40 days were spent in a cave with no sunlight and no way to tell time.
Uh-huh.
This is a group of volunteers from Montreal who were sent over to France to live in a cave.
When I think about those nights in Montreal.
15 people volunteered to spend 40 days in the cave.
And they make it?
The dark Lomvrives cave. They had no way to communicate with the outside world, and they had no way to tell time. All of this being done in the name of science, or something called the Deep Time Research Experiment. When they came to announce the end of the experiment after 40 days in the cave, one volunteer says, quote, it was kind of a shock. I remember thinking like, oh no, already? Time went by so fast, and I still had like so many things I wanted to do in the cave.
Such as?
I don't know. None of this makes any sense.
Scratch its walls?
They came out on Sunday all wearing special sunglasses to protect them from the light.
Uh-huh.
Because, again, you've spent 40 days in a cave.
Yeah.
The cave dwellers, 7 men and seven women and eight men.
Uh-huh.
Different ages and different backgrounds. They were volunteers for the Deep Time Research Project.
There were so many others I wanted to do.
This is led by the Human Adaptation Institute, which is based in France. They want to gauge how humans adapt to extreme environments without the ability to measure time. Project co-coordinator and participant says here, our future as humans on this planet will evolve. We must learn to better understand how our brains are capable of finding new solutions, whatever the situation. They lived for 40 days in a cold, dark, wet cave where the temperature is about 50 degrees and you got a relative humidity of, 100%. There is no natural light.
Uh-huh.
The participants had no access to clocks, no phones, no communication devices, no motorboats, not a single luxury.
But they had lights?
Yeah, they did have lights in the cave. They weren't in the complete dark, but like,
mole people.
Yeah, I mean, you got like lanterns, right?
Okay.
They had no idea what time or even what day it was. And they had no way to find out what was happening on the outside world.
All they played was Monopoly.
The only technology they had were cameras and devices that were used to track their movements and measure their sleep patterns. They were asked to eat, sleep, and wake up whenever it felt natural. And as a result, everybody ended up living according to their own personal clocks. They asked this woman when she came out of the cave, how long do you think you were in the cave? Now, she was in there for 40 days. She said, I was in there for 29 days tops. Because that's how many sleep cycles she experienced, uh-huh. right? Every time she fell asleep, she thought, well, that must be a day. Well, she slept 29 times, but it was 40 days. There were other people in the group that were at day 23 and other people that were at day 31. They all had different cycles.
Because of all those marathon card games.
It was difficult to perform tasks that were expected of them in the cave. Things like fetching water, documenting signatures on the wall from previous cave explorers, and clearing out all the debris and trash in the cave. They weren't able to get things done because there wasn't any time to say, we got to get this done by the certain amount of time, I guess.
And you should have seen the beer cans pile up.
It says here, all of those tasks, you needed several people, like three or four people, and it was difficult because you never knew when you woke up if anyone was up waiting for you or what you needed to do. This volunteer says she did enjoy her time in the cave and honestly was in no rush to leave.
I'd go back.
She got along well with the other volunteers. Says she never got cabin fever or even a strong desire to leave. That was not the case for everyone, though. One man, a math teacher and sailing instructor, said that sometimes he had visceral urges to just get out of the cave. And he would run in circles just to stay active. But even he admitted that the experience had some benefits. With no daily obligations and no children around, he said, the challenge, this guy's a math teacher, there were no children around, so the challenge, he said, was to profit from the present moment without ever thinking about what would happen in an hour or 2 hours. Two-thirds of the participants expressed a desire to remain underground a little bit longer.
Forever.
In order to finish group projects that they started during the expedition.
Projects? We built a petting zoo.
And we were the animals.
We were the ones getting petted. And it was about my turn to be the pet.
Two-thirds of them wanted to go back to the cave.
Well, that sounds perfect for you.
I would like to do this. I would love, I mean, obviously when I don't have the commitments I have now, go spend 40 days in a cave. I think that would be great. And you just like, I wonder how long it takes for you to lose track of time. Like how, I think I'd be able to figure out what day it was. But this experiment proves that I couldn't. Right. I assume
they were
I
way off.
Right. You just wake up and you think, okay, it's another day.
But I would tend to think that I'd be sleeping more than once a day. I would take that.
I would sleep a ton in a cave.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, this is if you're.
By the way, I sleep in the nude.
It's the humidity. If I wear clothes, I feel uncomfortable.
Put all your lanterns by my mattress. If you're not using your lantern, I would like to use it while I sleep in the nude.
Let me turn on my heart light.
Number three. Sometimes in looking for things to talk about here on Dave and Darren in the Morning, I'll read a headline and I'll say to myself, sometimes internally, sometimes out loud.
Tell me more.
I'll say, as I read the headline, I'll say, how is that news? Like, this seems like it happens a lot. But apparently it doesn't, right? This is a story that is news because it's not something that happens every day. I'm going to share the headline with you, and you can understand, I hope, my confusion. Man arrested at Kid Rock's bar for removing colostomy bag and swinging it around. My guess is at Kid Rock's bar, that's just a Friday night, right? Like, this happened in Nashville. The Metro Nashville Police, there was a call for assistance at Kid Rock's Big Ass Honky Tonk Rock and Roll Steakhouse.
Now, what do you think Kid Rock's reaction to that headline is?
Probably just shrugged his shoulders. That makes sense. He had removed his colostomy bag.
Uh-huh.
And was flinging his waist at others there at the Kid Rock bar.
No, you don't want that.
This is a...
Actually flinging it or threatening to fling it?
Well, I guess this is what this guy does, because there's a Twitter account. Somebody that just listens to the police scanner there in Nashville.
Uh-huh.
And they say here on a tweet from this would have been Saturday night, Nashville scanner, male took off his colostomy bag and started swinging it at others. Some units have feces on them. This is the third time I've heard this colostomy bag guy the past two nights. So the cops had been dealing with this guy a couple different times.
This is a strike three situation?
According to scanner traffic, it was the third time police had been in contact with the man that night. And he had previously refused medical attention both times. When the police encountered him again, he had removed his colostomy bag and was flinging poo on the responding officers. Wow. That's going to put an end to your night there at the...
That's not going to help with recruitment.
They're at the Kid Rock Big Ass Honky Tonk Rock and Roll Steakhouse.
Did you say steakhouse?
Yes. That's the name of the place. Kid Rock's Big Ass Honky Tonk Rock and Roll Steakhouse.
Are you sure?
On Lower Broadway.
Or is this going to turn out to be the whole Mickey Rooney potato house?
No, this is real. This is not Mickey Rooney's House of Potatoes.
You sure?
No, what was it called? Mickey Rooney's...
Loaded Potato?
No. What was it? Was it World of Potatoes? What was the name of the fictional Mickey Rooney potato place? I remember it now. It was Mickey Rooney's Potato Fantasy.
That's right.
I fell for that
potato one. Potato Fantasy.
That one I fell for, but this is legitimate news.
Yeah, we should have known better when they turned to fantasy. Free handshakes for seniors and veterans.
Someone writes here on this story, it says, quote, well, it looks like Nashville is finally getting back to normal.
Now, what's the biggest steak they offer at Kid Rock's? Man. I have to imagine it's the whole cow, right? All we do is just take the head off. And if you could finish it.
Do you think they have a steak that's more than 96 ounces? At the Kid Rock Big Ass Honky Tonk Rock and Roll Steakhouse.
They probably have one that's more than 296 ounces.
Welcome to Kid Rock's Big Ass Honky Tonk and Rock and Roll Steakhouse.
Uh-huh.
About us. Located on the corner of 3rd Avenue and Broadway, Kid Rock's big-ass honky-tonk and rock and roll steakhouse is Nashville's biggest and baddest new honky-tonk. With 5 floors, 4 stages, and 6 bars, this gorgeous honky-tonk can accommodate almost 2,000 people. Our kitchen serves mouth-watering steaks daily, including our signature 36-ounce tomahawk ribeye.
The dance floor is right next to the kill floor.
There are toilets on the dance floor. Why should you? You shouldn't have to leave the dance floor.
Why should you have to leave to do a your good business? Time? Don't stop the music.
It looks like the biggest steak you can get is a 36-ounce tomahawk ribeye. Huh. They don't have a
big challenge, huh?
Well, you have to keep this in mind. If you're at that part of Nashville, you don't want people sitting and eating for long. You got to keep it moving. 96 ounces is probably going to be too much. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, how much honky-tonking can you do after 96 ounces?
How much dancing are you going to do when you've had all-you-can-eat tomahawk steakhouse?
You really should be dancing all week.
Can you imagine working at this place? I'm looking at the 3D space here. You can do a virtual tour of the place. It's massive.
Yeah, well, it sounds like they'd have a lot of employees.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that I would want to go here. This doesn't seem like it's my scene. But yeah, it's right there where all the I've heard nothing but good stuff about Nashville. Yeah. People rave about it.
Get it to go.
When you walk right in, there's a little museum of some of Kid Rock's, you know, clothes and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
It's like a Hard Rock, but just for Kid Rock. And sometimes people take off their colostomy bags and just go crazy.
Number 4.
4.
4.
4.
I don't know how your weekend went, but I'm certain it went better than this guy who thought it would be a good idea to go to historic Gettysburg. And while at Gettysburg, nature called, so he went into a porta potty.
Mm-hmm.
And high winds had a tree fall on said porta potty. Guy was inside the porta potty, had to be caught out by first responders and then taken to the hospital. Volunteer firefighters from the Barlow Volunteer Fire Department responded to a 911 call on Friday at Little Round Top to find that a large tree had toppled in high winds. It crushed a car and a portable latrine. And they had to cut this guy out. He was imprisoned inside the porta potty there at Gettysburg. Now, I will grant you there are thousands of people who have had a worse day at Gettysburg.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, for as far as this century goes, it's pretty bad. There wasn't anybody inside the vehicle, thank God. That vehicle is a total loss. But they then realized that there was a guy trapped inside the crushed porta potty, and they had to cut him out.
I'm right over here.
Taken to Gettysburg Hospital by ambulance with injuries not considered to be life-threatening.
Let's take him to the showers first when he gets here.
I'm reading here from the Barlow Volunteer Fire Department Facebook page. Arrived to find one male subject trapped in the porta potty. He was very lucky. It was a large tree and it just missed striking him. It could have been very serious. Firefighters treated the situation as if the man had been trapped in the car. They had to use a chainsaw to cut the tree away, and then they were able to crack the porta potty open with a machine-powered saw. I imagine when you go to the Gettysburg Hospital that they still practice medicine like it's the Civil War.
Bite down on this.
Like the guy's just got blood all... the doctor's just got blood all over his uniform.
And a saw.
And his answer to everything is just to chop off an arm or a leg.
You know, we don't have to do that.
Like,
well, this is how we practice medicine in Gettysburg, friend.
This is my nurse, Nellie Bly. She's going to She's going to help. Here, we're going to give you some morphine. We give everybody morphine. Doesn't matter what you come in for.
All I did was stub my toe.
Yeah?
No, well, you're getting morphine.
Have some tablets. Some morphine tablets,
friend. Bite down on this leather strap.
It's just, it's what they do for everybody. Nellie Bly was a reporter. It's Florence Nightingale that I'm thinking of.
The nurse?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Right? Nellie Bly wasn't at the Civil War, was she? Or was she? You know what? I'm having trouble remembering things, Doc. Can I get some morphine for that? You betcha. Everybody gets morphine. And a leather strap to bite down on. That's their answer for everything.
Five.
Number five.
You like to take your dogs out for a walk.
Mm-hmm.
You do that pretty regularly. Every chance you get, you take them around the neighborhood.
It's true.
Would you ever take a fish out for a walk?
On a leash?
There's a Japanese company that's working on this container. It's to take your pet fish out on a walk. They call it the Katsugyo bag. It's a portable fish tank shaped like a long tube with a transparent middle section and then a handle and a gauge which monitors the oxygen saturation of the water.
Oh, that's a big fish.
They're currently developing this thing so you can just take your fish out for a walk. They say it will be a more elegant, efficient, and environmentally friendly alternative to, I guess, the other only alternative you have right now if you want to take your fish out for a walk, and that's to put them in a plastic bag filled with water.
That makes you look like you're coming back from the pet store.
Yeah, you just want it at the carnival.
Yeah.
Taking
ring
your
toss.
Right. It's still in development, but yeah, if you've got like a big fish, you can take it out for
that's
a walk.
A big. Who has fish like that?
I don't know. We're looking here at the pictures, the proof of concept pictures.
I mean, that one there, what is that, a bass?
Yeah, that looks like a giant. I don't know what that is. It's still in development. So you can't buy it just yet. They're testing it because they want to make sure that it's,
doesn't leak?
Well, yeah, you can be walking around with an upside down fish. They are testing the device with a variety of edible fish. And then documenting them. Now, I wonder if the Japanese are doing this so you can get a live fish to the restaurant. Like, imagine if you picked out a fish.
How fresh is it? Well, fresh.
We're going to kill it right in front of you here on the table. This has been evolving, they say. The people who have been keeping track of all the changes they've made with oxygen change and the feeding port being added. So you can feed them while they're going out for a walk.
But they've decided to start with edible fish.
Well, because if anything goes wrong.
Yeah, right.
Developers report that one issue that they have, because they need to make some more improvements, they say one of the problems with the Katsugyo bag is that there are some fish that like to swim a lot.
Mm.
And, you know, there's only so much room in this. The little suitcase that you're walking around with.
Jolted around, what kind of concussions can the fish actually put up with and stand?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this thing they say could be a huge commercial success, though. Because even though it's not on the market yet, they've got fish owners asking, well, how much does it cost and where can I buy one? Can you imagine somebody just walking around with a fish?
Oh, look at me. I'm quite fanciful, aren't I?
Right? It's like the guy who walks around with the parrot on his shoulder. Look at how weird I am, everybody.
I'm weird.
They say that this could be used as a portable tank for pet fish or aimed at sashimi fans who want to make sure their fish are as fresh as possible. Either way, you can't lose. Either for making sure that your fish is fresh or providing something for weirdos to walk around with their fish.
Haven't seen Yo-Yo Man around recently. The guy who runs and has the yo-yo?
Oh, right.
not that I'm spending a ton of time on Harrison Street. But I haven't seen him.
Is Yo-Yo Man okay?
I'm not saying that he's not, it's just that I...
But you're not in that part of town as much as
you are. Not like I was, no. Mm.
Yeah, that's one of
And with the weather changing, maybe he'll be out more.
That's one of the great things about neighborhoods is, like, the characters. When I lived on 15th Street in Davenport, that was the heyday of the clown lady. Remember the lady who had the clown makeup?
Mm-hmm.
She would just walk around with, like,
yes.
very, very white clown face. Makeup yeah. on her face.
Mm-hmm.
She's no longer with us.
I wouldn't imagine.
No. I remember reading about her passing away, but that was something else. It was like, you could always tell when somebody was new in the neighborhood because they'd be like, what is with the clown lady? Oh, yeah, no, that's...
That's our clown lady.
Do not call her clown lady, though, to her face. That's just what she was known in the neighborhood. The woman had a name.
Oh, okay.
Which I don't remember off the top of my head.
Didn't spend a lot of time in conversation with her.
Do you have any weirdos in your neighborhood?
In my neighborhood?
Yeah.
Weirdos?
Yeah.
I'd rather not say.
Well, I will tell you, if you can't think of any, then you are the weirdo.
Well, that's true, too.
You're the guy that walks around in his underpants.
You're the
Moses Lawn in his underpants.
Where's the fish? You're the fish.
Exactly.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
Thanks for downloading, subscribing, listening to, and liking the Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things podcast, made possible by our friends at Nature's Treatment of Illinois.
They have two locations, Tech Drive in Milan and West Main Street in Galesburg. Milan's open every day. Galesburg is open weekdays and Saturdays. The Milan store offers both medicinal and recreational. Galesburg is recreational only. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter and connect with Nature's Treatment on Twitter and Instagram.
Till we get a chance to do it for you again, thanks for listening. Hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked. Rock Island. Come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
Bye, have a great time.